Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Statman Dave Football Podcast. This is episode 14. Lucky for some, Thierry Henry wore the number, Johan Cruyff wore the number, so I'm quite excited for this one. And quite frankly, two Barcelona players, in a way, legends. Obviously, Thierry Henry lifting the Champions League at Barcelona and Cruyff doing it as a player and a manager, the European Cup, of course, in the Champions League in 1994. But anyway, guys, today we're going to talk a bit of the news. We're going to be discussing Luis Enrique's resignation from Barcelona in big, you know, in large detail, touch on some other news points, and then move on to the, you know, the title race in La Liga that took another swing yesterday, and then finish off with a little bit of Mendy. Could he be the successor to Patrice Evra at Manchester United? United haven't found the left-back since Evra left the club, so maybe he is the guy, the natural heir to Evra. But anyway, let's get this party started. So in terms of news, we're going to touch on some other topics before we jump on to Luis Enrique, because that might take a little bit of time. You know, news that have come out yesterday, Dybala is set to sign a new deal at Juventus with his release clause reported to be €150 million. Other news, City beat Huddersfield 5-1 in the FA Cup with Sergio Aguero grabbing two goals and an assist. And over to Germany in the DFL Pokal Cup, Bayern beat Schalke with a pretty Ribery, Thiago, Lewandowski inspired victory. You know, those three players combining to for all three of the goals, and Thiago grabbing another goal. You know, it's taken his game a step further under Carlo Ancelotti. He's starting to score goals and get into the penalty area. But anyway, apart from that, Tommy Grell, a member of the famous Lisbon Lions, has finally passed away at the age of 73. The Lisbon Lions, if you don't know, were the first British team to win the European Cup. The Celtic 1963 side that unlocked a Hector Herrera Inter Milan team playing a 4-2-4 with wingers, with wide play and a lot of goals. So, you know, condolences to his family and everyone at Celtic Football Club. But anyway, the big news that came out yesterday or this morning was that Luis Enrique, in fact, announcing that he wouldn't be managing Barcelona next season, citing exhaustion, similar to what Pep Guardiola did when he left Barcelona. Interestingly, he is right now the fourth most successful Barcelona manager ever, behind obviously Cruyff, Gamper and Guardiola. Guardiola as well, you know, being up there number one, lifting the Champions League on two occasions. But what Luis Enrique did at Barcelona is he moved the side on after Pep Guardiola. A few managers came in and didn't quite move the side on, and that's what Enrique did. He changed Barcelona from a heavily based possession side to a team that could counter-attack and break very, very well. You go back to the 2013-14 Champions League, the Barcelona team would just kill you on the counter-attack. They kill you with the ball. MSN were absolutely crucial to the side. But interestingly enough, it was the Enrique's organisation without the ball, the 4-4-2 shape with Neymar drifting to the left wing, Rakitic covering the right wing and Messi staying on the counter-attack that was so pivotal for that trophy. And, you know, credit to Enrique moving Lionel Messi on, evolving Lionel Messi from a false nine to sort of an advanced playmaker. But anyway, Luis Enrique will leave a lasting memory on Barcelona, replaced Xavi with Rakitic, obviously moving that midfield on as well. So did a lot of good things at Barcelona. But it's quite interesting that Barcelona, you know, in the modern day, coaches don't last more than 5 years. The last guy to do that, obviously, was Frank Rijkaard with his team, including the likes of Deco, Ronaldinho, Samuel Eto'o, and a young Lionel Messi, obviously lifting the Champions League as well. But then Guardiola comes in, he takes 4 years and then drops out. So it must be quite exhausting to deal with both the president, the fans, and then some really high-class players. And that potentially is why Luis Enrique sort of decided to move on, that his methods aren't really working with the players anymore. The video that I did against, you know, who's going to win La Liga, the podcast I did on Monday, I looked into what was kind of going wrong at Barcelona. And it kind of looks like the intensity's gone. The ball's no longer going through midfield, which it should be. And Messi isn't getting involved enough. Different, though, against Sporting Gijón after he made the announcement that he was leaving. Barcelona looked a lot better. They did switch systems, but we'll talk about that a bit further on. In terms of replacements, this is where the exciting part comes. There's a number of names that have been linked with the Barcelona job, but I'm going to give you a few of those and guys that I think potentially Barcelona should look at. So first up, of course, we've got to touch on Sampaoli, the guy that's heavily linked for the job, his favourite. He did wonderful, wonderful work at Chile, winning the Copa America, playing a very expansive 3-4-1-2 or a 3-5-2 or a 3-6-1. There was a lot of interchanging positions, pressing football, attacking from the front, and a lot of zonal Bielsa-style football. Of course, Sampaoli has come to La Liga and really taken this Sevilla team to the next level, currently sitting on 52 points. They have a game tonight in La Liga, which will put them level on points with Real Madrid. Let me just confirm that on the La Liga table, because I don't want to get that wrong, because I'd look very, very silly. No, in fact, Sevilla, if they win their game this evening, will be on 55 points behind Real Madrid on 56 points. Barcelona, top of the league on 57 points. Of course, Real Madrid do have a game in hand, so they can go 2 points clear, but it's starting to get really hot. The work he's done at Sevilla is incredible. The work that Unai Emery did at Sevilla was really good in terms of a cup level. You know, the three Europa Leagues in a row, fantastic, consider the turnover of players at Sevilla every single summer. Their star would go, their star would move on, and Unai Emery would move the side on and push them forward. Where he didn't do so well was in the league, and we're kind of seeing that at PSG, how he's doing well in the Champions League but not in the league. What Sampaoli's done is he's done both. Competitive in the Champions League, obviously playing Leicester City in a second leg could be a little bit dodgy, but in terms of what he's done in the league, very, very good. The team, his impact of his substitutions. In fact, Sampaoli's side, they've won more points from subs scoring goals than any other team, so he's not scared of changing things up. And that apparently, you know, that could be something that Enrique's been criticised for, his end of his Barca tenure, you know, incorrect substitutions, incorrect tactical changes to win games. But what he'll bring to Barcelona is tactical flexibility, pressing, and goals back to the Camp Nou. In terms of the side that he plays sometimes for Sevilla, he's playing a 3-5-2, but he's playing a 3-5-2 with wingers either side. So you could see the likes of you know, him setting the team up on one wing, you'd have Neymar on the other wing, potentially looking for a signing that he could bring in there. But I expect to be another attacking player. Even Rakitic could play out with the current crop there. Busquets, Iniesta sitting in central midfield, then potentially a back three of Piqué, Umtiti, and potentially Jordi Alba or someone like that could fit in there quite nicely. We saw what he did against Sporting Gijón. Again, we'll touch on that very shortly. But yeah, it could be an interesting Sampaoli side, pressing, aggressive football, very exciting for any Barcelona fans. In terms of other managers that could come in and replace the outgoing Luis Enrique, maybe Leonardo Jardim. Bringing a different style of football, a counter-attacking, attacking style to Barcelona, but it could be the natural succession of Luis Enrique's evolution. Now, he's moved the side on from a possession-based style to a side that plays possession and counter. Maybe it's time for Jardim's counter that is fantastic. We've seen how good Monaco have been this season, scoring more goals than any other side in Europe's top five leagues. How they potentially could set up in their 4-4-2. Messi and Luis Suarez up top, potentially having someone like Neymar on one wing, Rakitic on the other, midfield two of Iniesta and, of course, Sergio Busquets. Could be quite high tempo, a pressing, aggressive football. I think they'd have to definitely strengthen a right fullback. They could look at someone like Sidibe that's been so good for Monaco this season, or even Touré, who's also been quite good, registered 5 assists in Ligue 1 this season. So he's been a brilliant input, output from right fullback. So Barcelona, if they were to go with Jardim, would have to sign some fullbacks. I feel the rest of the side would be perfect, but what they could see is high counter-attacking football. Maybe someone like Mbappe could go over to Barcelona, you know, exciting stuff. Or even further, they could take the Red Bull model out of Red Bull. They could pull out Rangnick, they could pull out Hasenhüttl, bring those two, the sporting director and the coach over to Barcelona, sign some young talent and really move this side on. In terms of what Leipzig have played this season in the Bundesliga, again, it's a 4-4-2, a 4-4-2 where the wide players come inside, they become the playmakers, and the fullbacks provide that width. So a similar issue at right back, they'd have to sign a right back there. In terms of the side, potentially you could see them bringing someone like Naby Keita over to play central midfield to give them a little bit more energy next to someone like Sergio Busquets, maybe Messi on the right, maybe someone like Andres Iniesta on the left, and Neymar Suarez up top. Slightly different approach to the Yardim approach, with the playmakers coming in and really being part of the action. You think of, you know, Sabitzer and Forsberg this season. Moving on to other managers, Thomas Tuchel, of course, the Borussia Dortmund manager. I'd love to see him at Barcelona. Bringing his sort of 5-4-1 or 3-4-3 to Barcelona would be absolutely perfect. You know, the front three being Suarez, Messi and Neymar. Midfield two, you could see Iniesta, Busquets in there. Potentially, they're going to have to strengthen on the right-hand side again, fullback-wise, left-hand side, potentially, you know, Jordi Alba in there. Back three would be perfect. And Titi, potentially Mascherano, Pique. It would work quite well. Similar style of football, can counter-attack, can break quite fast, but also can dominate the ball. Love how Tuchel's sort of pentagon in midfield, the two central midfielders in the front three press together in unison. And that's what Barcelona need. They need that intensity back. But would I see it, you know, him leaving Borussia Dortmund right now? Probably not. You know, it's taken him a while to get back this Borussia Dortmund team after losing such important players over the last few seasons, Mkhitaryan, Gundogan and Matt Hummels in the summer.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He spent that time to work with these young players, the likes of Ousmane Dembele, the likes of Julian Weigl. I can't really see him, you know, binning that after one season, after it's taken him so long to get back to third in the Bundesliga. I think he's going to be there a little bit longer, but would be a very good fit for Barcelona. Finishing off on Ronald Koeman, who's been heavily linked in the media. For me, that'd be so stupid for Barcelona. Ronald Koeman, highly overrated manager for what he's done at Southampton and what he's done at Everton, spending a lot of money, a lot of wages. You look at where Everton position themselves in the Premier League, they will probably finish seventh. Where's their wage spend? It's in seventh place. You're thinking of signings like Yannick Bolasie, how it's taken him time, you know, the bad form they went through. I just can't see Ronald Koeman being a good manager for Barcelona. He'd probably play a 4-3-3, similar to what they play right now. He's not really going to move the side on. So for me, Ronald Koeman, absolute no-no. You think of the job that he did at Benfica, the job that he did at Valencia. Poor, poor when he has pressure on his back, and that's exactly what he'd have at Barcelona. Obviously an ex-player, so that works out there. But apart from that, can't see that working at all. And of course, the interesting one, Arsene Wenger. Wouldn't it be a thing of beauty? Arsene Wenger leaving Arsenal, going to Barcelona and winning the Champions League, or winning the La Liga and the Champions League. That'd be fantastic. Arsenal fan TV would blow up. You're thinking something like 500 million views on a video of DT or troops or someone like that just exploding. Would be brilliant. But in terms of what Arsene Wenger, he'd probably set this Barcelona team up in a 4-2-3-1 system that he's favoured at Arsenal for the last few years. Maybe Messi as a 10, Neymar on the left-hand side. Probably have to bring someone in on the right, maybe Bernardo Silva, and then of course Luis Suarez through in the middle. But it could be quite interesting. Wenger at Barca, would he give the players enough freedom? Obviously the style of football he's played at Barcelona for the last few seasons has been possession based keeper of the football, so it could be quite nice. Maybe Sanchez returning to Barca. Heard it here first. But anyway, they're the managerial options. The one that I think would be potentially best for Barcelona, of course, would be Sampaoli. And what he's done at Sevilla, you know, the achievements that he's already got there, how he's made them competitive for this La Liga title race has been fantastic. So I'd like to see him with Lionel Messi because they've, you know, he's Sampaoli's always mentioned Lionel Messi, how he'd love to have worked with Lionel Messi at one time in his career, and this is the time that's going to happen. I can't see anyone else being the next Barcelona manager apart from the Argentinian. Anyway, that's it for the Luis Enrique leaving Barcelona section of the podcast. Now we're going to move on to a little bit of soccer, a little bit of football. Of course, I mentioned the La Liga title race. It's something that's been so interesting this year. If you haven't checked out La Liga this year, jump on it right now because it's starting to, you know, the race is hotting up. So Barcelona played Sporting Gijón at home and set up with a 3-4-3 with Denis Suarez and Rafinha playing either side of Busquets. Busquets and Rakitic in central midfield. It was an interesting system. It looked like a 4-3-3 on paper, but in fact looked like a 3-6-1 when Barcelona had the ball, with Lionel Messi coming in at number 10, Denis Suarez drifting inside and becoming sort of a central midfield, and Neymar staying very wide and Rafinha on the other side. And it was a lovely sort of change-up from Luis Enrique, and they just absolutely destroyed Sporting Gijón with the ball. They were fantastic with the ball. Jordi Alba as well came into, you know, pushed to a left centre-back role, which is quite interesting. You know, he's a full-back, he's a wing-back, but he played awesome. Completed 119 passes against Sporting Gijón. That was 39 than any other player on the pitch. And they were positive passes. They were passes to Neymar. They were passes into central midfield. It was an impressive display from the Spanish international. A fullback by trade, but, you know, it's very, very capable at playing centre back. And I quite like this Barcelona system, how Busquets dropped into the back three and made a back four when he needed to, and it was quite nice. And in terms of what they did with the ball, they were really good. Messi back involved in the play, you know, becoming a sort of number 10. He created five chances, got five shots away, scoring a goal, getting assist, and I quite liked how he was used there and how Enrique again is sort of evolving this side and trying to take them a step forward. They played a lot better. They looked like they were behind the manager again in terms of his tactical selection given his resignation, so they are looking good. You know, Suarez was really good in form. Paco coming off the bench and scoring a goal. So for my money right now is on this Barcelona team to win La Liga in terms of the tactical change that Enrique's made there. And of course, the Rakitic goal. If you haven't checked that out, go and have a look at that. A beautiful 1-2 and a fantastic finish from the Croatian international. One touch on the vol, smashed it into the roof of the net. And I quite like him next to Busquets in this this, whatever we want to call it, this 3-6-1 or this 3-4-3 without the ball. It's a nice fluid system, and I do like that a lot. So over to Madrid. Madrid played Las Palmas at the Santiago Bernabéu, a game that finished 3-3. Real Madrid conceding 5 goals in La Liga in their last 2 games. Defensively, they were a joke against Las Palmas, consistently getting caught out on the turnover, on the counter-attack. Las Palmas always having a man up, whether it was a 3v2, a 4v3, with Hesse sort of controlling the counter-attack with his direct dribbling and then, you know, assisting the likes of Boateng or going himself. And it was a game that Real Madrid arguably should have lost. Cristiano Ronaldo inspired a late comeback, grabbing a goal from the penalty spot and scoring a classic Cristiano Ronaldo header from a set piece. But in terms of their midfield, it was shocking. The setup was very, very poor from Zidane, for me, with Kovacic, Isco and Cruz playing in central midfield. For me, that's three natural attacking midfielders, and it showed. Every time Las Palmas broke, there was no defensive midfielder, there was no protection for the centre-backs, there was no protection for the defence, and it was just poor from Zidane. Without playing Casemiro, potentially in the summer they should have looked for a backup to Casemiro, because they just don't have it in their squad right now. And when he doesn't play, they look so open. Going forward, they were quite good. Morata didn't take his chances. He had 3 goals that he scored that were ruled for offside, one of them not being his fault, with Cristiano Ronaldo being off and a poor timing of his run, which would have put Real Madrid back into the game a lot earlier on. But in terms of that defensive midfield, it's going to be a big, big, big problem. Again, I mentioned last time how they did so well getting forward with their fullbacks at the game at the weekend against Villarreal. This time they were just so poor at defending in that area once again. And it's going to be an issue. If they can't keep clean sheets in La Liga, they aren't going to win the title. And this is a big, big, big moment for Zinedine Zidane's Real Madrid career. You know, arguably he did go with the right option, go Morata up top, but his midfield selection, very, very, very suspect, very, very poor. And of course, Gareth Bale getting sent off for 2 pretty silly yellow cards, hacking down Vieira, then pushing him over. Obviously, the lad went down like he'd been shot, but Gareth Bale shouldn't be doing that thing in the Liga. He played quite well in the game, was getting forward well, was assisting the likes of Morata, the likes of Gareth Bale, and Isco in the penalty area through his crossing. But unfortunately, A bit of a poor moment from the Welsh international, losing his head at a really key moment. And of course, got to finish off with his partner, Ronaldo, who again had a fantastic game, created the moment that won the penalty with a brilliant cross after drifting wide right. And of course, the header for the goal. Another top display from Ronaldo. Very, very impressed how he's maturing and evolving as a player this season. Being more of an all-rounder, creating, scoring and assisting. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Ronaldo this season. But Real Madrid throwing away the point lead over Barcelona, and now they have got a game in hand. They can go top again, but they will be 2 points 2 points clear. So the title race is massively back on over in Spain. Over to France now. Let's talk the Copa de Ligue. An interesting game. Marseille played Monaco. It went to 120 minutes with Monaco winning the game. A Thomas Lemar winner following some good work from Mendy that gave them the 4-3 victory over Marseille. Some ex-Premier League legends scoring from Marseille. Obviously, Dimitri Payet scoring the opener, and Remy Cabella scoring, grabbing a brace for Marseille. But there was some real good football from Monaco once again on the counter-attack. And again, one of the key components in that counter-attack was Mendy. Grabbed two assists and scored a goal, but was so good when Monaco broke. And that is quite interesting. Let's take this further to Manchester United, who have struggled a little bit at left-back this season. You know, you think of Darmian's played there. Daley Blind, who's looked very good in recent weeks. And of course, Luke Shaw. Nobody's grabbed that first-team shirt, the number three. And I think Mendy could be the perfect signing for Manchester United going forward. In terms of what he gives United going, you know, in an attacking sense, he almost plays as a wing back. I remember watching him for Bielsa's Marseille. They played sort of a three at the back, one defensive midfielder and two wing backs either side. And Mendy was always the guy getting forward and getting crosses into the box, overlapping the wide players and really causing havoc in that final third. And that's exactly what he does for Marseille. Perfect on the counter attack. You know, back to the goal that he scored against Marseille. Monaco turned the ball over. Great little bit of interplay through Bernardo Silva and so forth. But you see Mendy absolutely step on the gas. Step on the gas, deep from in midfield, runs past, I think he runs past the Marseille right midfielder, the Marseille right back, and then the Marseille defensive midfielder who kind of gets a glance of him, just goes, gets into the penalty area and puts it away. You know, some suspect defending from Marseille, but for a left fullback to get forward and to put the ball in the back of the net shows his quality, his athletic ability to operate as a fullback up and down. And that's why Patrice Evra was so good for Manchester United, was so good at getting into the final third, but also so good at recovering. And Mendy has that asset with him in terms of his tackles, in terms of interception. Very good, very aware forward. And I'd quite like to see him sign for Manchester United in the summer to lock down that left back slot. In terms of assists, only Marcelo and Marcel have registered more assists in Europe's top five leagues this season from defence. So it could be a big, big signing for Manchester United for Jose Mourinho's men. But anyway, guys, that's been that for the Statman Dave Football Podcast today. In the comments below, please let me know who you think should take over as Barcelona manager. Until tomorrow, see you later, guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.